Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Our message today is coming from 2 Timothy chapter 1. For those of you that have been following along, not at home, but here in person, we have been talking about the life of David. Today we're going to kind of take a break from that. If you didn't know, we meet together in our pastoral team and we plan out the yearly calendar in the messages that we're going to talk about and the different things that we're going to kind of guide our preaching time together. We pray about that, we fast over that, and we kind of list that out. But there are certain times where it's appropriate to set aside our regularly scheduled programming to talk about something that's happening today. And certainly today would be an opportunity for us to do that. And so as we set aside the life of David, we'll get it back to the life of David perhaps next week. Today's sermon was supposed to be about David and Bathsheba and the wages of sin. So come back next week. Stay tuned, because that story is as relevant today as it ever was. But today we're going to talk about this idea of a pandemic response, And so as we look at this, Scripture has something to say about the way that we respond to everything, right? We are supposed to respond in a different way than the world does. We respond in a different way because of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Are you following? Does that make sense? And so this becomes an opportunity, a pandemic like this becomes an opportunity for you and I to exhibit, to put on display for the world to see a different response than the world. Now we get in trouble when we act just like the world. We lose out on an opportunity that's tailor-made for us. And so this is an opportunity today as we talk about no fear. From 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, no fear, as we look at the responses we operate in the world that we live in, we're not supposed to operate in fear in any given circumstance. Fear that would cause us to shrink back from the calling that God has on our life. Fear that would cause us to be frozen in fear and not advancing for the kingdom of the gospel. That's not the way that we're supposed to live our lives. We live our lives in the power of God. We live our lives in the resurrection power that now resides in us and works through us to push back the darkness in the world that we live in today. I'm getting excited. I'm going to tell you right now, because this is a message that we need to hear today. If you get home today, you can go back on our Facebook page, share this with your neighbors and friends wherever they are all over the globe, because they need to know what the God says about a pandemic response according to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We're going to begin reading actually together in verse 3 of this chapter. Amazing, amazing passage here. The Apostle Paul is writing to his young protege Timothy. As he's writing to him, there's many things that are happening in Timothy's life. Timothy has become a pastor of this amazing growing church. And as he's growing this church, there are things that are coming against him. There's opposition. Can you believe that there's opposition to the work of the Lord in the world that we live in? Holy Toledo! I'm glad it's not like that today, and it only happened in the first century. So he's calling on Timothy not to have fear, but to have faith. He's writing this second letter. He's already told him how to run the church and how to react as he runs this church, as he leads this church into the day. He told him how to react to false teachers, how to react to those that he's leading. He said, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be an example to them in faith and the way that you speak and the way that you love and the way that you conduct yourself. You be an example to them. For me, for the Lord, then that's going to take care of itself. And so all of these things working out in Timothy's life, his church began to grow. And as his church began to grow, he began to have influence in the world around him. And that's when the real fun began. As that's when the opposition and the persecution and everything that was going on. And so he wrote the second letter to Timothy to encourage him in this season, don't have fear. Don't be afraid. Beginning reading in verse 3, it says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul was in prison. Paul was in shackles, and Timothy had sent out in word that he was really upset about this and really wanted to come to Paul's aid or Paul's rescue. And Paul's saying, don't worry about that. I'm fine. I'm rejoicing because of what God's doing in your life. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, And I am persuaded is in you also. Grandparents, are you listening? Parents, are you listening? Just because they're always watching. We always have somebody watching, and we have the opportunity to lead at any given moment. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Can you say that, church? Fear, right? Not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. And so this passage gives us today really what we need to grab hold of in our response today to the situations of the day. Now, as we look at this, there's four things that this verse talks about. Number one, no fear, only faith. The opposite of fear here is faith. So to not respond in fear, but to respond in faith, the Bible talks about fear primarily in two ways. One way is the Greek word phobos, which is the word we get phobia from. Right? This idea of phobia. People are scared of all sorts of things today, aren't they? They're scared of spiders, right? Anybody scared of spiders? Right? Scared of snakes, right? Scared of snakes, yeah. Yeah, those are evil creatures, right? Amen. Scared of clowns, right? Some people are scared of clowns. There's a lot of people today that are afraid of running out of toilet paper. That fear right there is gripping the world in which we live in today. Running out of toilet paper. I don't know if there's a specific phobia around it, but Lord, we need to make one, right? I mean, this is an amazing time in which we're living in. Fear, all kinds of fears. This type of fear can either be good or bad. Can be good or bad. This type of fear, as we look at, some of it's irrational. Some of it doesn't make any sense, but we have these fears that cause us to react negatively in whatever situation we're in. As we react negatively, it kind of causes us to draw away from faith, draw away from God, and respond in ways that aren't of Him. But there's also ways that this type of fear is actually positive. Even for us. I mean, there are things that we run up against that are actually dangerous that we should express caution, that when we have fear, it causes us to respond in an appropriate manner. And so in that way, it can be used good or bad. It's gender neutral, this type of fear. This type of fear is positive, though, when we talk about the Lord. You ever heard of the phrase in the fear of the Lord? Right? Ephesians chapter 5 and 21, Paul frames our relationships with one another, submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. And as we submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, as we honor God in our relationships with each other, is what he's saying. And so he goes through a husband and wife relationship, wives and husbands relationship. He goes through children and parents and children. And he goes through slaves and masters, employees and employers. And we put all the relationships that we have are dictated, really are on the backdrop of our fear of the Lord. We treat others because of an appropriate fear of the Lord, a respect, a reverence of the Lord. But that's not the kind of fear that's in this verse. The kind of fear that's in this verse is always negative. Always negative. In the Bible, many times it's used, it's always in a negative fashion. This type of fear means to cowardice, to have timidity, to be full of fear, really frozen in fear. And that's the word that's talked about here. Timothy, don't respond in fear. Don't respond in a cowardice or a timidity. That doesn't come from the Lord. That doesn't come from the Lord. This spirit of fear, God didn't give us this. And so when we find ourselves operating in this way in the world we live in today, we have to first of all recognize that doesn't come from the Lord. And so we should reject that. Because that is not something that the Lord calls us to. And we say, oh boy, is this prevalent in the world we live in today. Don't we see this on display? I mean, every minute of the day almost. Anywhere we go, I mean, I joke about the toilet paper off the shelves, but come on. Why? What drives that? It's a fear that is unhealthy. It's an anxiety. And you know, there's an entire world that makes a lot of money by conjuring up the anxiety and fear in us. And it has nothing to do with facts at all. Has nothing to do with truth at all. But it's just if we can continue to keep you watching because you're fearful, then we make more money from it. And so there's this entire industry of fear that doesn't come from the Lord. That doesn't come from the Lord. The opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of fear is faith. This idea of faith is the Greek word pistis. This means of faith that we mentally ascend to the facts. We understand the truth of a situation, and we kind of wrap our minds, we accept the truth of the situation. Now, here's where we're in trouble today, because we don't have a lot of truth going on in the situation we're presented today. We don't know what's truth. You listen to this broadcast, it says one thing. You listen to this broadcast, it's saying something completely different. How do you know what the truth is? As followers of Jesus Christ, there's only one source or standard of truth. It's the Word of God. And in the Word of God, we can put our faith and trust in. When times don't make sense, this is the only thing that does make sense. When times are without hope, there's living hope in the Word of God. We know, we can mentally assent to, we know that God sent forth His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can mentally understand that fact. Can't really, I mean, what? It's just a miracle in the way. It's a love we don't understand. But we understand God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, that those who would believe in Him, believe having trust, wrapping not only their mind around what He did, but their whole lives, trusting that truth for themselves, applying that truth to their lives through faith. We understand that because of faith, we can overcome fear. We don't have to be afraid or worried about what's going to happen in eternity, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And the truth is, that can be applied to our lives through faith. Now we, you and I, who have trusted Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we have forgiveness of those sins and have an eternity and eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good news. That's good news. We hold on to the truth in faith. Fear is conjured up because the truth is far from it. And so it's this emotional reaction that causes an emotion in us that just paralyzes us in many ways. And it causes us to do things which we otherwise wouldn't do. Like buy a lot of toilet paper. Things that we wouldn't normally do because we're operating in fear and not faith. God has not called us. He didn't give us that spirit. That's from the enemy. But on the flip side, you and I are to walk in the power and the power of God. The power of God, what does that look like? Well, when you and I walk through that relationship, that threshold of relationship with Jesus Christ, we were imbued, we were indwelt with the power of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit now resides in us. That greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. There is a power, a resurrection power that is operating in our lives. This Greek word for power is dynamis. It sounds like dynamite. There is an explosion of power that is resident in our lives, that at any time that we feel fear, that through faith this power erupts and destroys the fear that comes against it. This is what God is calling us, you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, to walk in faith, to walk in this power of God rather than the fear that is so prevalent in the world today. And it's this power, it is this power that is different from the world. That the world will be able to tell that Christ is real, His power is real, and then He resides in us because of the power that we walk in. We choose faith over fear. And as we do, the world sees something completely different in us. This idea of power, it's an amazing, amazing power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this is an amazing, as Jesus is getting ready to kind of ascend into heaven, He says, "For you will be given power, the dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? Have you walked through this threshold of relationship with Jesus Christ through faith and He's forgiven you for your sins? The Bible says that that power now has come upon you, that you are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jerusalem being at home, at state, nationally, internationally, anywhere we go, we are to be witnesses to the power of Jesus Christ. Not our own power, not our own weakness, but to the power of the everlasting God, the creator of the world. That's our responsibility, and we have that power living in us. But because of fear, it limits, it puts a cap on it when we respond in fear rather than responding in faith and allowing that power to shine through. It's this time that I believe this is a tailor-made opportunity that God has made for you and I to be witnesses to the world around us because of the power that resides in us. That we choose faith over fear. We cast fear aside. We can't even, it's not for us to even imagine operating in fear. We've got to operate in faith to be witnesses that God has called us to. This is our mission. This is the responsibility that God has given us. And think about it. At no time present before in the history of mankind has the entire world been scared at once than today. What better opportunity to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be His witnesses wherever we go? Whew, if that don't get you up. Come on. I'm telling you what. But in order to walk in the power of God, we got to get our eyes off ourselves. Can you guys go to the four points? We got to get our eyes off ourselves. When we walk in the power of the Lord, it means we're not walking in fear. We don't have our eyes just inward. We got our eyes outward. This passage says that we are to walk in power of God in love and sound mind, in love. And to love others means that our eyes are on them, not on us. This is what we're to do today. These are our marching orders. That as we go our way today, anywhere we go, we have the opportunity to express the love of God to anybody that we come into contact with. We can be non-discriminatory, and even if they look like they're doing good, they're probably freaking out because of this pandemic, and we can express the love of God in a calm and faith-filled manner. Everybody is looking for a solution today. They're looking for the answer, and His name is Jesus. You got them, and it's up to you to share them. This idea of love, this is the Greek word agape. You heard of that before? That's a common word. We talk about that a lot in church and church life. But agape is a perfect kind of love. We use it to describe God's kind of love because when we ascribe it to God, it's that perfect kind of love that is demonstrated for the benefit of the need of others. It's a benevolent kind of love. It's a love that looks into the need of others rather than our own. That's a tough kind of love. We don't understand that in the physical. We always, you know, we can exchange love. If you act loving to me, then I'm going to act loving to you. But don't come at me if you're not acting loving and expect any nice return. Hello? Maybe that's the first service. Anyway, so as we look at, as we operate in our humanity, this perfect agape love is tough to wrap our minds around, but it's always love for the benefit of others. That's what we're talking about here. Eyes off of self and onto others to satisfy their needs, to help them come along, to help them understand who God is. This is agape love. I'm reading a book, or I've read a book called Thirsty for God by Brad Holt. And there's some things in this book. It's kind of one of those newer books, new age books. And so some of it I had to leave on the shelf or in the book, and some of them I like. But the definition that he gave for love was, I thought, was outstanding. And so here's the definition that he gave for love. You can write this down because you'll probably want to remember this. Love, agape love, is a ready and steady motivation to care for the best interests of the beloved. All right, let me say that again. Agape love is a ready and steady motivation to care for the best interests of the beloved. This is exemplified, really, in the life of Jesus Christ. I mean, can you imagine Jesus? I mean, he's living a royal, regal life in heaven, right? Nothing, there's nothing bothering him up there. Everything is great, everything is glorious, it's perfect, it's heaven. And then the plan of redemption has him stepping out of that perfection and into humanity. Are you kidding me? I mean, that is an amazing, why would anybody do that? The Bible says it's because of his great love for us. It's because of love, looking out for the best interests and the needs of others. You and I can't solve our sin problem. There's nothing that we could have done to answer that sin problem. It only comes from God. That answer, he gave his one and only son, Jesus. And as we believe in him, this is what love looks like. It sacrifices for the benefit of others. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now what God's asking you and I to do in this season of a pandemic, this tailor-made season to be a witness of Jesus Christ, is to step out of our comfort zone a little bit and say, hey, what do you have a need? And how can I meet that need? Somebody's freaking out and they're acting like they don't have it. It's just, what are we going to do? We're all going to die. Oh, we're doomed. Hey, come here. Let's take a minute and pray about this. Let's come back to a sense of normalcy, a sense of calm. It's opportunities that all around us to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is what we're commanded to do. And so God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, did we have to go there today? A sound mind? What does that look like? We got a lot of pictures of the opposite today, right? I mean, I couldn't believe there's a couple pictures that, and I wish I would have thought about putting it up there. I saw them on, as I was scrolling through my Facebook feed today, there were pictures and it kind of had people coming back from Europe and coming back from different countries. And now that we're kind of making sure that they're okay as they come back into the country and lines out the wazoo. I mean, in these airports, international airports, and people are like, I've waited 8 hours in line just to get my temperature taken. I mean, these are the things that are going on today. Pandemonium, panic. And there are people on there that instead of praying, instead of offering a positive word, they're criticizing decisions that are made by those that are trying to make the best decisions possible for the country that we live in and for the greater amount of people. I mean, there are people responding in such negative and political fashions today. Stop it! That's not with a sound mind, people! That's ridiculous! That's sinful! God is calling us to be a witness to the cross today. A witness that we can help others in this time of need. And instead, some of us are calling, well, we're missing out on the opportunity. I'll just say that. The Bible tells us to show some sanity. This idea of a sound mind, get this, wait for this, you ready for this? This idea of having a sound mind means to be in moderation, means to have self-control, means to have self-discipline. And so you and I, when we go to the grocery store and we see a case of toilet paper on the shelf, we operate in self-discipline. I'm not going to come look at your pantries, okay? But, perhaps the Lord has given you an opportunity to share with your neighbor, right? I don't know. I say this in jest, but it's an opportunity for you and I to walk in self-control, to show sound mind, sound judgment. This is the opportunity for you and I to show others what Jesus looks like and the difference that he's made in our lives. This idea of sound mind, again, tailor-made opportunity. No time can I remember, even when a hurricane's coming. Right? Later this year, there might be a hurricane, one of those whirly birds coming at us. I mean, even with a hurricane coming, people aren't freaking out like they are right now. Such an opportunity for us to exhibit a little bit of self-control, just a touch of self-control, and help bring others to Jesus. Help bring others and answer their needs. Help to show love toward others, not because we're good, but because God is good and because his power resides in us, operating not out of faith, not out of fear, but in faith. And so I want to close our time today with this little story. This is a story you're probably familiar with, and it's told in Scripture, but there's some things about this story that I thought were pretty cool that I wanted to make sure that we kind of left with today. And so Mark chapter 4, at the end of the chapter, there's a story about, about fear. About fear and maybe a negative reaction of fear. And so Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." So Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over there to get away from the multitude that I've been ministering to nonstop. I mean, not even taking a break to get meals or anything. So they got in a boat and they were going to the other side. Verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, right, looking back on the shore, bye. They took along in the boat. As he was. He took him along in the boat as he was. So Jesus here, think about Jesus' condition. He's been ministering all day. He's been tired. He's tired. He's famished. And so as he was, so Jesus, you come on. We're going to put you over here. You go ahead and rest and we'll take care of it. We'll wake you up when we get there. Now, it doesn't say that in this passage, but if you read the text, it's exactly what happened. Watch. As they took him along in the boat as he was. But there's this curious little phrase at the end here, and other little boats were also with them. I got to tell you, I don't remember reading that before. So as I'm reading this, I'm going, what? Wait a minute. Other little boats were with him. You know, here's a takeaway that you and I, as followers of Christ, there's always other little boats that are with us. There's children and grandchildren. There's friends. There's neighbors. There's unbelievers. And they're all in the same waters. They're sailing in the same waters we are. Now, maybe they're not in the boat with Jesus yet, but they don't know what that looks like. So they're just kind of coming along the journey with us. And we got to beware and cognizant of the little boats that are with us. Hello? Verse 37 said, and a great windstorm arose. We knew this was coming, right? And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, you know, one thing about the Sea of Galilee at night is that these windstorms would whip up out of nowhere. There'd be very little information about that they were coming. They didn't have Doppler radar back in the day. They didn't have the weathermen that we have today that can warn us 6 months in advance that we're going to have a weather event. They didn't have all of these things, but they knew that the water got rough at night. And as the wind blew, the water, the windstorm churned up the water, and all of a sudden they were struggling. They were struggling in this moment trying to cross to the other side. Now, question, was it just their boat that was struggling? How about all the other little boats? They were struggling too, weren't they? Interesting. Keep that in mind. But he was in the stern. Who was in the stern? Asleep on a pillow? Okay, let's just stop for a minute. All right. Don't you love the image of Jesus with, you know, getting his pillow ready and putting his head on the pillow? I mean, don't you love that imagery? Look, I got to tell you, my wife would probably shoot me, but I know when somebody takes my pillow at home, right? I mean, I know my pillow. When my head goes to that pillow, I know my pillow. And if it ain't my pillow, we got to fix that, right? And so Jesus on the stern, asleep with his pillow. We get this image of comfort and peace and rest that's happening in the midst of the storm. Jesus is asleep in the stern on a pillow. Oh, Jesus. Right? I love this. And they went to Jesus, they woke him, and they said to him, teacher, don't you even care that we're all going to die? God, don't you care? We're all going to die from this stupid virus? Where are you? Aren't you paying attention? I mean, come on. So what's Jesus' response? In the midst of the storm, he's sleeping peacefully, right? I don't even want to wake him. I'm telling you, I don't want to go over and wake him. But we got a problem we can't handle. Hello? We got a problem here we can't fix ourselves. Jesus, we need your help. And that's not what they said. So, I mean, I can imagine them all just bailing the boat, trying to get the water out of the boat. And they look over and they went, what's he doing sleeping? We need his help. Jesus, get up. We're all going to die. Come on. Help us bail the boat. And then verse 39, I love this. And you almost get this like yawn. Jesus is like, oh, I was sleeping. So that was such a good talk I was having my dad. That's good. It was a good dream. Gets up, yawns, he stretches. He's like, oh, I can't believe this, right? I mean, looking around. He gets up and he goes, shh. Peace be still. And immediately the water went whoop. And here the disciples are like, okay, we were handing you a bucket, okay? We didn't know you were going to do that. See, sometimes I think that in the midst of these seasons, we're trying to hand Jesus a bucket, and all Jesus wants to do is say, shh, peace be still. And then he says something to the disciples as they wondered about this. And they're like, what? He says, how, what is wrong with you? How are you so full of fear? So have such little faith in the midst of this storm? Come on. And instead of capturing the moment and say, God, you are worthy. I am sorry. No faith. It grows my faith. They were like, how does he do that? He just went and it obeyed. What is that? They missed the point. Here's something else that I want to just kind of give to you as we close. Let's go back to the other little boats for a moment. Okay. Other little boats coming alongside. They're struggling. We're going to die, right? And as they're kind of reacting in the same way, they see the disciples, and they didn't see Jesus asleep on the boat, but they were watching, and they said, oh, Jesus is getting up now. Maybe he'll help. What happened? He calmed the storm? Wait a minute. Wait. You guys had Jesus on the boat, and he could do that, and you allowed us to go through all of this? Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. And he was sleeping on the boat the whole time. He was in your boat the whole time. And Jesus was there. He was ready to be called out. And you let us go through all this nonsense. And all you had to do was call on Jesus? I kind of think the world is waiting for us to call on Jesus. For us to respond in faith rather than fear to the situation that's going on. You want to talk about a pandemic response? Let the church respond in faith rather than fear and see what happens in the world. Amen. I'm convinced that God wants to act in our lives, that he has the power to act through our lives and demonstrating through love and great faith with a sound mind, with self-control and good judgment to impact this world in a season like we've never seen before. That's what I think a pandemic response that God wants from us. No fear, just faith. Father, thank you for today. Whew, Jesus. Oh, we are so good at limiting the work that you can do in our lives. We are so good at minimizing the effect of the resurrection power that resides in us and not allowing it to work through us. Father, I pray. I pray that from this moment forward, in this season that you placed us in, that we would choose not to respond with fear, but to respond only in faith. To respond in a way that's going to show and exhibit the power that you have in our lives and that you want to exhibit in this world through love, through acts of kindness, through compassion, and through sharing with a sound mind. In this time when people are losing their mind, Father, that you would help us to operate in the exact opposite. That the world would be able to see you alive in us at this season. Father, as we move forward from this day, we need your help because we are as susceptible to the nonsense that's going on around us as anybody else. And so, Father, when we start to hear this fear, when we start to feel this anxiety and this worry well up inside of us, help us to cast that aside like the sin that it is so that we would be able to walk faithfully with you and walk strongly and boldly into the opportunities that you've given us. Now, Father, I'm not talking about acting unwisely. I'm not talking about acting in ways that aren't safe and aren't taking into account really the issues of the day. But I'm talking about this enemy called fear, called panic, called worry, that is so easily invading even us who are yours. And so, Father, in one accord, I ask repentance for this today. And that we will walk forward in faith, full confidence in the power of the resurrection. Fathers, we do all we can say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory today. Today we're going to do our invitation a little differently. So instead of coming forward we're not going to do any of that. We're going to stay where we're seated. And we're going to sing together this hymn of invitation. And as we do, I'm asking you to allow God to continue to speak to your heart for a few minutes. As we sing this song together, allowing these words of faith to kind of sink deep. So that when we leave this place, we're going to live differently than when we came to this place. That we're going to allow faith to overwhelm our response instead of fear causing us to shrink. And so as we sing this song together, allow the Lord to minister to your heart. In this time. Pastor Aaron.
Let's stand together.